Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California, with Andy Stevens, Owen Main, and Luke Johnson.
It's 75 degrees outside, man. It's December. Where you stand?
Welcome again to the Fansmanship.com podcast. I think it's episode 73. I might be wrong about that. Look on the top of your whatever app you're running or at the top of our website right now, and you can understand which podcast episode of Fansmanship it is. I'm embarrassed that I don't know. It is episode, 73 or something.
I feel like this should be a good anniversary podcast, but since it's just you and me here in the Fansmanship
studios,
Fansmanship.com studios, then.
I'm here with J.D. Scroggin of the Tribune.
Alone, which means it must not be the 75th episode.
No, it's definitely not 75. It's either 73 or 74. I want to say 74. J.D. could actually look it up on his tablet if he looked up our site. But
let's see here.
He doesn't have to if he doesn't want
to.
The
last one was 73 with CJ Silas, so this is 74. And I heard that one with CJ Silas, and I do have to say...
What do you have to say?
Well, if you listen, go back and listen to the beginning of that podcast, CJ was a little harsh in her critique of your home studio here. She was like not down
with... It wasn't
here. Oh, it wasn't here? Where was it?
We were at Luke's studio.
Oh, well, I've never been to Luke's studio, so yeah. I can't comment on that. But I was listening to it thinking like, wait, I've been to the Owen Main Fansmanship.com studios, and this doesn't sound like accurate description because, well, here's my theory, what I was thinking at the time, because CJ, you know, she's been, you know, all over the place with, you know, ESPN.
Fox Sports Radio.
Mm-hmm. And she's used to the upscale, like, professional equipment. She doesn't remember what it was like back... when you're just a fledgling
to be a garage podcaster,
starving artist, you know what
yeah.
I mean?
No,
like
yeah,
you,
no, she's,
like starter from the bottom. Now we hear it. Like CJ is far from the bottom. So
she's
like,
legit. Yeah, yeah. And so
she came off a little bit spoiled too. I think I don't like these popper things. And it's like, well, they're there because if you want to come up with like an impromptu rap or something, what if you wanted to rhyme stop with pop and you wanted to do the, you know,
it would. It would sound like that.
Exactly. But see, filter. I have the popper, so it sounds like this.
With the pop filter. Yeah, it's a little bit better. Wow, that's quite a noise, JD. So yeah, here's what happened actually that day. I had an appointment with my wife, who's now like 8 days overdue, and it was like an hour and a half late. So I had planned on being to Luke's house way before CJ and having everything ready to go like when she got there. Because I know she's used to, you know, having a studio that's good. I was like ready to go. Whenever we have a guest, you know, we kind of try to, especially a guest for the first time, we try to, you know, make him comfortable.
I like how you qualify that, because you were like, when we have a guest, we try to, eyes shifting around. Let me see, did I pick up? No. Yeah. When we have a guest for the first time, we want to make sure that it's nice and clean.
Especially for the first time. But then our studio is kind of mobile as well, and so I brought everything to Luke's house except for the table.
Okay.
So that was a mistake. So we had to like
carry... she was like, this guy's sitting on this guy's lap, and it was like a thread throughout the whole thing that you guys were sharing seats.
We weren't sharing seats, but we did have to carry Luke's kitchen table into his garage to do the podcast last week. So that was my fault. But it was actually the doctor's fault. I'm going to go ahead and blame the doctors.
Well, I'm just saying, but like it gave me pause to, well, should I invite CJ onto my podcast? Because my podcast is like, if she doesn't like this, you know, if she thinks this one isn't up to, you know, professional snuff, you guys have a terrific setup. What would she think of me doing my podcast on a cell phone?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's fine. I mean, I actually had her the first time. We just did it on my tape recorder. And it came out great, but it was just two people. And so, you know, when we try to do multiple people, you know, I could have asked her to bring an XLR mic or something like that. But, you know, that's not good either. I want to be able to do that. And Luke and I shared, and it was fine. We've had other people share before. And we were really thankful to have CJ on the podcast.
Yeah, she was good.
Even
if it
was
boring,
hurried.
Though. This is getting boring. Though.
It's okay, though. It was hurried. And I did really seriously, like, feel bad. And there was, like, some thought process going into it. You know, I hate to be hurried around somebody who's on the podcast for the first time and who's such a pro like CJ is.
Totally.
Speaking of which, we'll be hosting the CJ Silas show a week from Wednesday. That will be August. Is it the 14th? I'm trying to picture. Is this? Yeah, this Wednesday is the 7th, so it'll be the 14th. We're going to be hosting, guest hosting the CJ Silas show while she's on vacation. When I say we, I mean the Fansmanship podcast. And best case scenario, we have a guest from the Tribune named JD Scroggin. Hopefully, we'll work on that. But JD, I want to kind of kick off and probably spend most of today on Cal Poly football because it's football season, man. The last couple of 3 weeks, I've been really kind of struggling about things to write about. I can't write about having a baby pretty soon every day. And I did write about that earlier this week. But football is like right here now. The Hall of Fame game was last night. There's training camps that are opened. Colleges are starting to train. I actually read something about North Dakota starting last week. Why do they get to start earlier? Is it due to the date of their first game and going back? So maybe they play a game like earlier in the week.
So they possibly have, they that's what, that would be practices. My first guess without knowing like for sure for certain. It's probably because they have like a Thursday game or a Friday
Wednesday
game
or Thursday
something.
Or Friday game. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
That's what I would guess.
Because I thought that was kind of a standard thing across the board. It was either North Dakota or North Dakota State. The Big Sky retweeted how great it was that they started practice or something. That was last week.
Yeah, and I saw that Fresno State had started practice last week too.
Okay, so that must be that they have a game earlier.
Must be.
Than Cal Poly,
yeah, Fresno State, they'll play any day of the week. You know, at least they used to when they had anyone, anytime, anywhere. I don't know if that has changed since now they have a new coach.
The David Carr days.
Well, the Pat Hill days. You know, they would play on Tuesday and Thursday. And one of my favorite headlines I remember from the Fresno Bee, this was years and years ago, but they played their first Thursday game. It was the first ever Thursday game on ESPN.
Uh-huh.
And one of the copy editors wrote the headline saying, "I'll gladly pay you Thursday," was the headline. I was like, oh my God, he made an allusion to Popeye and Wimpy. Oh my God.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. So the newspaper geek inside of me was like, yeah.
Popeye allusions are not bad.
Popeye allusions are not bad, I guess.
There you go. And JD's
I
like,
can't believe she didn't appreciate this.
JD's
I'm
like a
it.
Sound. Well, I think she thought it was weird because we were just looking over each other, like we're looking.
Yeah, but see,
because all
what
you
I'm
can
saying.
See is your
this,
eyes.
See, when I was in college, I just graduated high school, and I was, or maybe it was my senior year of high school. I don't remember. We used to go to like a boys and girls club that was near our like high school, and a friend of mine and I recorded a bunch of rap songs. And
these guys,
which you have played
and we
charitably
probably will,
on your
and
show.
We probably will. Like, how about like, okay, we'll play it right now. Some These Guys. Yeah, like some of that action right there.
Yeah, so that was These Guys. But see, our first recordings of These Guys were in a very modest studio. If you want to even call it a studio, it was just like a room upstairs at the Boys and Girls Club where we went and like recorded with just hand-me-down equipment that people had donated.
Did you record onto a computer or straight onto like
media? It was a computer by that time. It was like an old Power Mac. It was a few years old by that time. Uh-huh. And we did have a small like Pro Tools setup.
Like
which
an
was
old
kinda
version
cool.
of Pro Tools?
Old version of Pro Tools.
Nice.
But we had hand-me-down mics and we had the little pop screens.
Yeah.
And, but it was like that was like the bottom. You know what I mean? Of like at the time, that was like the cheapy way you could go. And I remember always like the next few years after that, I always wanted like a what you have basically. You know what I mean? Like a real legit like Pro Tools style, like good mics and everything. So like so I come into the studio, I'm like, whoa.
You're like, CJ is professional.
Yeah, CJ is like casually like,
she's good.
I don't know what these pop
Stop
screens
it.
Are.
Stop it. I'm going to
stick
up for CJ.
She's up in the ivory tower like, I don't know what these pop screens
are. I'm going to stick up for CJ in this case. But
I was like, I wish I had pop screens. I have a cell phone with a recording app on it.
Yeah, I mean, and it's amazing what cell phones with recording apps can do when it comes to, I mean, you could literally take a picture with your cell phone, use the recording app to record it, and put it on YouTube 10 minutes later, depending on how long it is.
That's what I do all the time.
It's really incredible. I know I put a few like post-game interviews on there. I always wonder about post-game interviews because it's something I'm really always interested in when I'm rooting for a team. I'm interested in what the coach talks about after the game. I always really liked watching like Phil Jackson after the game talking about the game. Maybe it's just like the media nerd in me.
Yeah.
But and I always get mad when they like took it off of there and went to like Jack Haley spouting some random crap about whatever. I like Jack Haley, but I want to hear what Phil Jackson has to say. I want to hear him barb with the media. I want to hear all that.
Yeah.
And I never, you know, I didn't get as much of a chance to as I always wanted to. So I always thought posting those would be like, hey, lots of people might be interested in this. Not that many people are usually interested
in
that.
Well, if you're listening to this and you are interested in that, get in touch with me, jscroggin@thetribunenews.com, and email me and let me know if you want to hear that stuff. Because I have audio and video of all those things too. And it's like, well, does anyone want to hear it or see it?
Right. Is it worth the time it takes to actually like upload it to YouTube and do all the things? JD, you can follow. He has a pretty good page on – he's the only person I know who uses this service, but I think more people should. It's Rebel Mouse. And so you can go to rebelmouse.com/slowcollegebeat. Is that right?
No, it's rebelmouse.com/JD Scroggin is the web address. And you can go there and it basically feeds all of my social content, stories, pictures,
Twitter,
videos,
Facebook, blogging
tweets,
with Scroggin.
Basically every kind of content that I'm producing for the Tribune is fed to that page. And it's really in a nice kind of Pinterest style layout that's real easy and accessible. You just look for the things that you want and, you know, open them up.
You could also follow JD on social media.
Twitter.com @SlowCollegeBeat.
@SlowCollegeBeat. And there's a Facebook page for Blogging with Scroggin as well. JD is, of course, the college beat writer, hence @SlowCollegeBeat, for San Luis Obispo and especially Cal Poly. And so I was at Cal Poly football practice for a while today. He was at Cal Poly football practice for a while today. And leading up to the spring game this past spring, the big question was who the quarterback was going to be. And three out of the four quarterbacks were healthy enough to play. And I should say four out of the five quarterbacks were healthy enough to play in the spring game, if we're including Kenny Johnson, right? Johnson or Johnston?
Johnston,
yes. Who's the scout team quarterback and does a good job at that, I think. But when we talk about kind of the four main guys who are competing for the job, three out of the four were healthy enough to compete in the spring game, and nobody really played that well, I didn't think. Tanner Trocine did a pretty good job towards the end at some times. Dano Graves looked like – Dano or Dano?
Dano.
Dano Graves
yeah.
looked like he was, you know, just getting his feet on the ground in San Luis. And Vince Moraga was kind of steady Vince Moraga, but, you know, there weren't any big plays really. I think it's a testament on the one hand to how good their defense is, and how, you know, solid that part of their team is, but it's also, kind of concerning, and so much so that Tim Walsh couldn't name a starter after spring practice in the spring game. I think he kind of wanted to, right? I mean, that was
the plan.
That was the plan. And, so then at the spring game, he said, okay, we're going to have to get it by the first or second week of training camp. And so we started training camp today. And what did you see out there?
Well, I saw the reps being split up, you know, pretty pretty even between all of the QBs. Even Johnston, you know, got his fair share of throws in there.
True.
They were all getting lots of throws, and that's by design, and that's what Walsh said that he wanted to do, you know, give all these guys a chance to win the job.
Right.
At a certain point, though, you need your starter to take the majority of the first team snaps. So at some point, something's got to give. You know, one of those guys has to start preparing for San Diego, you know, in the opening, you know, game of the season. Then it's getting closer and closer.
4 weeks? Do they get 4 weeks of practice?
Let me double check. I want to say it was 2 weeks of training camp.
And 2 weeks of real practice.
And then like 2 weeks of real practice. Yeah. So
it's usually like 20 days of practice beforehand.
Yeah, the first game is August 31st. San Diego.
And today's the 5th, so that would be four weeks of practice. So
the first 3 weeks, you can kind of like, you know, figure things out, I guess. But that last week, you definitely want to be practicing for your opponent. And even maybe the last couple days of the week before that, you're really gearing up to play a game. And then at that point, it becomes, okay, competition is secondary, preparation is primary.
So I saw a poll that got put up actually on a Cal Poly fan site. Shout out to the UQ site, right? The Cal Poly Mustangs.uq.com is
the Poly Report, as it's casually referred to.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh.
I think that's an unofficial name.
An unofficial name for it. Okay, well.
Yeah. The Poly Report.
Somebody put a poll up there that said who was going to be the starting quarterback, and there were four options: Vince Moraga, Dano Graves, Chris Brown, and Tanner Trocine. But then there was a fifth option, and that is that they're going to get split up. You see this happen in college sometimes where you have guys that are platooning. Sam Houston State, the team Cal Poly lost to and who's made it to the championship game and lost the last 2 years, they had a pretty good rotation. It wasn't like a all game rotation. It was kind of going with a hot hand, but they rotated two quarterbacks last year pretty consistently and have been pretty successful in doing so. So it's not like it's unheard of or you know, you're not able to do that, especially with a running attack like they have. What's your intuition about who the quarterback is going to be, who in your mind is kind of at the top? Because everybody close to the program, you know, people who you talk to, I don't know. At least officially, yeah. It's like, who knows? What are you thinking about it? I mean, what's going on? Well,
let's start in the very, you know, just qualify this whole statement here about dual quarterbacks and whatnot. Walsh has said previously that he's not
in favor of
dual quarterbacks. Right. No, and it's because he's very traditional and he's very conservative, I think, and is in some of his, game plans and play calling, or not play calling because he doesn't call the plays, but just, you know, for instance, you know, he'll go with a guy and then he won't be afraid to live and die by that guy, I guess, you know,
cause especially if it's an upperclassman.
Yeah. I mean, he took some criticism a couple years ago, for the loss against Davis when they were up 20, Pauly was up 20-0 and they ended up losing 21-0.
I was at that game.
Yep. Yeah. And Tony Smith, if you remember, who was kind of, they had because of injury flip flop starters a few times that season. Andre Broaddus was an up and coming. I think he was maybe a sophomore that year. He had played well, but he had also gotten hurt. They went with Tony, and Andre was kind of coming off of injury, but you had the feeling he was available. In the second half, when things went south for Tony, threw a bad interception that went the other way, and the offense kind of stalled.
Kind of the momentum just, you know, like, yeah, threw on the e-brake.
A lot of people were thinking, oh, this is the time they can go back to Broaddus now because, you know, it's not the offense isn't getting the job done. But they never went back to him. And theoretically, you know, and by all accounts, Broaddus was healthy enough to play.
Right.
You know, at least that's what they were saying going into the game.
Right.
So people, you know, maybe criticized Walsh for, well, why didn't you go to Andre at any point?
Right.
But I feel like it's just kind of his preference or his nature maybe to like, well, this guy's healthy. He's the starter. He's going to finish the game and play.
In other words, I made that decision for a reason, and I'm not going to – it's like a not wanting to panic. I mean, at some level, like, you don't want to say I'm panicking because of this. You want to say this was my plan going in and I have this guy, and not wanting to be perceived as panicky.
I couldn't tell you what the thought process is because I'm not inside his brain, but just from observing.
You're not.
No, I'm not. Unfortunately, no. I know. I know. I know it looks, maybe it appears sometimes that I may be there, but no. Yeah, he just observing, I feel like, yeah, at times he's just kind of, he'll make the conservative play rather than the risky play.
Right.
And so he said in the past, no, I only want one QB, and he's going to be the guy, and he's going to be the leader. He believes, I think he said in the past that the quarterback is a leader, and you can't really be a super strong leader or in a position of authority if you feel like you don't have authority to make mistakes,
or if that,
you
know, authority is easily usurped or easily changed, like, right?
Yeah, if you're afraid to make a mistake, then how are you going to have authority over anyone else or leadership over anyone else?
Yeah.
You know, so I get that perspective.
It's a fairly traditional like leadership perspective too. Yeah,
yeah.
And so where did he coach before he came to Cal Poly?
Army.
Okay.
Oh, he was only there for a couple of years.
Well, but
he's not Army born and bred like Ellerson.
Sure.
But yeah, he was at Portland State a long time before that.
Sure.
But I just think that, you know, for whatever reason, that's his philosophy. He's going to go with one guy. So I think he wants to settle on one guy. So, you know, that he has four at this point is a little surprising to me because I figured they would narrow it down.
He could have at least whittled it, right?
Yeah.
And so is this a case of, like, he has guys in his mind who he thinks are, like, way in the front, but he doesn't want to lose those other athletes, or they're, you know, maybe he has other plans for them? I don't know. I mean, we talked about that. I don't know if it was on the air or off the air, but there are guys, like, especially I'm picturing especially Graves and especially Brown, who could absolutely play other positions for how athletic they are and how you know, strong just runners they are, or you know, football instincts in general. They could absolutely find other places for those guys to land. Do you think that's something that he has in his mind?
Possibly.
He alluded to it after the spring game. He said,
"Do you think that he did?"
No, I know he did. He said, "We have other guys. You know, some of these guys could, you know, could play a lot of positions on the field," or something like that. He alluded to that after, in the interviews after the game then.
Yeah, I don't think either one of those guys wants to play another position.
No, not at all, right? And he doesn't want them to have that mentality.
Yeah.
So he hasn't said anything about that.
Who? I don't think that Daniel Graves transferred to Cal Poly to play running back or cornerback or whatever other
position. I think he's a running back if he plays another position.
Yeah.
He's on the other side. You know, it's a three-headed monster between him, Criston Ivory, and Cole Stanford for those two kind of slot back wing. What are the positions? The two guys offset, not the fullback.
Yeah, have two slot backs. A fullback. They call them like X, Y, and Z. Right. So you have the depth chart.
Yeah, the two slot backs.
I just call them slot backs and fullbacks.
I think Graves could be an amazing slot back, especially you know, given his experience. But who do you think in the end wins the quarterback, or who are your like favorites going in?
We first showed up, for some reason, I know what it was. When we first showed up, you and I, the training camp today, they were kind of in pairs. The quarterbacks,
we didn't go together, but we showed up there.
I was there first. Let's just be honest. Let's put it out there that I was there first and stayed longer. Well, be honest.
I was the Dodger fan today. That's correct. I showed up late and left early.
Yes, exactly. Typical Dodger fan.
Amazing pictures, though. Check out the site. I'm going to put up some pictures also on our Facebook page, facebook.com/fansmanship. I'm going to do a lot with our Facebook page this year. It's just an easy way for me to upload pictures. And we have a lot of pictures from like the Blues this summer. We have pictures from Cal Poly Baseball and whatever we're at. The tour of California. I mean, there are lots of pictures up on our Facebook page. So
yeah, you saw the meat of what happened. But right. I think when you and I first kind of came together, I'd been there maybe like 5 minutes. I don't know. You were right behind me.
Yeah.
When we first started talking, we were watching the quarterbacks. They were kind of working in pairs, and they were taking turns on some individual kind of drills and making short passes. And paired up were Vince Moraga, the junior, and Daniel Graves, the sophomore transfer. And then in the other pair, it was Trozine and Brown kind of going at the same time. And then Kenny Johnston kind of got in there and messed up the rotation. But the first pair...
The two more experienced guys, theoretically, the older guys.
Yes. And it could have just been chance. I don't think that they were really paired up. But when I saw those pair together, for some reason, it struck in my mind like a lightning strike. Just came in and was like, okay, those two guys are the top two guys that I think the coaches are considering. So Moraga, and I saw Moraga working with Graves, and for whatever reason, just intuition or whatever, I thought, oh, the coaches probably paired them together because they're probably the two leaders. But in reality, that wasn't really what was happening. It was just that's how it looked at that slice of time that I looked at it. But the reason I thought that probably was because those guys are probably the two, the two older, more experienced theoretically. Like,
now, great. Dano is a sophomore.
Yeah, but he's eligibility sophomore, but he's really a junior age.
He's old enough to be a junior because did he go to prep school or did he redshirt 1 year at Air Force?
He went to the prep school, so he did not redshirt.
Right.
He can redshirt.
He still can.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
But he's the age, junior age. So you've got Moraga, who's a redshirt junior.
Right.
I think actually Moraga gray shirted. So Moraga's actually like a redshirt senior age, I think.
Okay.
He was in Walsh's first recruiting class in 2009.
Yeah.
That would make him 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Yeah, that would make him a...
Like 23-year-old junior.
The age of a fifth-year senior, but because he gray-shirted his first year, he's actually a junior.
He gray-shirted, then red-shirted.
Yes.
Then, right.
So he's older. Graves is older. So I've for some reason, just of what I know from observing Walsh,
over the past few years.
Yes, since 2009, one of my instincts is he's going to go with the older guy because I saw him go with Tony Smith over Broadus, and he went with experience over Flash in that case.
Right.
So I feel like, okay, well, here's a coach who is conservative who's going to go with experience over Flash.
Okay.
But in talking to him, at the same time,
because I didn't talk to him after practice. That's why I'm asking you.
Yeah, but I didn't ask him about the quarterbacks. I'm just going by our conversations in the past.
Okay. Because
I didn't really ask him too much about the quarterbacks.
Because you knew he wouldn't have an answer today.
Yeah.
Right.
Give me the standings. Who's in first today after the first practice?
I should have stayed because I would have asked him, who's your quarterback this year?
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't have said that.
Yeah. I just don't want to waste time. You only have a couple minutes. So I want to ask, questions that I know I'm going to get decent answers to or that I'm going to use.
You
don't want to waste any. Eric Burdick already makes fun of me for asking questions and taking too long. My interviews average about 5 minutes, and he was like, "You ask questions that you don't even use the quotes."
It's so you can go on the Fansmanship podcast and
give the quotes on the podcast.
Yeah,
yeah. And, well, I've talked to Walsh in the past, or
the Scrogcast.
Yes, correct. Scrog. I haven't done one in a while, but maybe we'll bring them back and do some more on my cell phone. Although I may be seeing your great setup, I may be shamed from doing a cell phone podcast.
Your next one, you know what you have to do, right?
It has CJ
to be on your cell phone.
Have CJ.
And you have to have CJ on.
Okay, yeah. I'll do that. CJ, if you're out there listening, I want you to be on the Scrogcast, but I want you to know that it is meager technologies at use.
It sounds just the same now. It doesn't. In the end, when you're playing it on, you know, headphones on your laptop or something, it all sounds the
same.
Yeah,
no. I was giving CJ a hard time because I've been here at the studio and I was like, hey, that's not fair. But, you know, I mean, you know, me and CJ, we're cool.
Yeah,
like,
you guys are cool.
I love her. She's awesome.
Okay.
So I was just, that was playful ribbing that she's not really in the ivory tower. She's worked hard and worked her way up.
I have lots of
respect for her.
For sure.
Even though the ESPN studios may have softened her a little bit to the underground
Fansmanship Studios
podcast setup. I was saying, oh yeah, Walsh. Like, so in the past, talking to him, I feel like he's said very positive things about Chris Brown and Chandler Trozin, and in particular Chris Brown. He was, he had a left wrist injury, non-throwing hand in training camp, so he could, or in spring drills, so he couldn't really participate very much. Did not play in the spring game. And as an observer, I would think that's the kind of situation where you're eliminated. You just eliminated yourself.
Wally Pipp at that point.
Yeah, you eliminated yourself because, injury is unfortunate. But the unfortunate part about it is there's three other guys. They're all really good.
And if you get hurt in spring, what does that say about your ability to stay healthy? I mean, it might not say anything about it, but guys who get hurt again. Like, that's not a – that happens sometimes.
Possibly. You never know. I don't think there's a history of him being injured. But
I'm just saying, like, if you have to pick somebody, you pick the guy who stays healthy more.
Yeah, sometimes. We'll put it this way. If you're in a job search and you're out there putting your resume out there and you're going to interview with a company and there's four people interviewing and, you know, you are sick on the day of your interview and you have to call in sick because you had your appendix out. Well, I mean, maybe they'll make a concession for you and call you back for another interview. Or maybe they'll just say, well, we already interviewed these other three people and they're good enough. You know, sorry, person with the appendix, but you blew your shot. That's perfectly reasonable in my mind, you know, that someone could lose their chance at starting because of an injury.
Yeah.
Especially if you're on a short timetable, like they don't have a ton of time, you know, to settle on somebody. So.
Right.
So when Chris Brown went down with a wrist injury, I thought in my head, like, oh, man, he must be out. So it's down to the other three guys.
Right.
Not so. Talking to Walsh after the spring game, Chris Brown is still very much in the mix. He's in the mix as much as anybody else. I was kind of surprised to hear that, quite frankly, because they don't have that much. They're pressed for time. You got to find a leader. You can't just say, oh, you know, day before the game, this guy's the leader, everybody. Go follow him. You got to give him some time to build rapport and get comfortable and grow into that role a little bit, especially when you have four or five guys or four guys that have never been in that position before. So the fact that Brown is still in there said something very strong about Brown, that Walsh really likes him. So that makes me think, oh, Moraga and Graves, they're the older guys, but Brown he really likes, you know.
And then Trocin played the best out of anybody in the spring game
on top
of that. Now it's like we're back to where we were before the spring game, man.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, in a lot of ways, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and for how poorly some of those guys looked throwing the ball in the spring game, because there were some times where it was like, ooh, you know, like accuracy-wise or other things, or, you know, their protection broke down. That was the bummer about the spring game, was the offensive line was all hurt, I think. I don't think there was a single projected starter on the offensive line. And they were going up against the defense, and even the second-string defense was giving them a hard time, because then it was like probably the third string off, you know. So you kept going down the depth charts there, and the offensive line was getting beat so much that you didn't really get a great look at how these guys would run an offense if the offensive line, if the lines were playing to a stalemate. Now the quarterback can be a difference maker, but when the offensive line was getting blown up like it was, it didn't really matter in a lot of cases. The few times that guys did get a chance to show what they could do, Graves did not look great in the spring game. Trocin looked good for a couple of drives. Moraga looked decent for a couple of drives.
He looked good, but he also had turnover.
Right, and the crispness of the offense, you know, nobody was real crisp because of the offensive line not being there. That was the bummer about the spring game, I thought.
Yeah, well, then you had, you know, today's practice, and by all accounts, everyone was saying things were crisp.
They looked a lot crisper, throwing the ball, catching the ball, the just the throws themselves looked better on the practice field.
But you're talking also about a non-padded practice where there really wasn't any live blocking going on. So the when they were doing 7-on-7s or passing drills, the there was no line play involved. So, I mean, that count factor that in as
Graves
well.
Graves made some great passes, but he wasn't looking over 6'4" guys.
Yeah.
Right.
So the only way you're going to really tell like who's in the lead is when we start getting full pad practices, which start on Friday. And then the following week, you're going to start have 2-a-days. And then I think the second Saturday of practice is going to be the like scrimmage. And I think after that scrimmage, they're going to want to name a starter and say, you're the guy. So I
maybe
would,
even going into that scrimmage.
Yeah, that's going to be – no, I would say after the scrimmage. They're going to use that scrimmage to determine who the starter is.
You think?
So that's going to be a big one. If you want to know who the quarterback's going to be, it's not this upcoming Saturday. But it's a week from Saturday, I think. So let me double check my calendar.
That would be like the 20th?
Yeah, the 17th.
17th is a Wednesday.
No, it's a Saturday.
August 17th is a Wednesday. August 14th is a Wednesday, so it would be the 17th, yeah. You're right, I'm wrong. You're remarkably good looking. I'm average at best. That's what I tell my wife, actually.
Why doesn't anyone ever say that to you? You know, like at home.
I just did say it to you.
I know, and I had a
and
big...
And I do say it to my wife.
And I had a big grin on my face when you said that. It was so awesome. Because when I'm at home, my wife will say something like totally ridiculous. And I'll be like, no, it's this way. And then when she finds out, she'll just be like, eh, so? You know, and it's like, no, I want you to say. I was wrong. You were right.
That's what I said.
You know? Yeah. So, I did like, it. I appreciate
that. You can't be afraid to... To call yourself out sometimes.
That's what I like about you, Owen.
So what, I mean, so you were saying you think maybe you thought before maybe Walsh was looking at at the older guys, then he speaks good of Chris Brown, then Trocine has a decent spring game and kind of comes out as maybe the guy who played the best then.
Yeah, we walk into practice, I see the two experienced guys, and then there I am again with the experience.
So what's your are you going around in circles still?
And I think that the coaches are too, going around in circles. But I think here's the thing, like I still feel that experience is going to be a big factor. So I don't want to say it, but I feel like Trocine, he might be on the outside looking in. He might be not on the outside looking in. He might be the longest shot to take it.
And
just
he redshirted last year?
The youngest. Yeah.
Okay. So he doesn't have a redshirt season where he could just hang out now.
No. But I mean, you know, he's the youngest still.
Okay.
So I feel like just knowing Walsh's background with, you know, being prizing experience, I feel like he's not on the outside. That was a bad choice of words by me. But he's probably the longest shot because of the inexperience, the age.
And he's a redshirt freshman. So even if he sits out this year for whatever reason, he could... And so say Graves gets it. Trocine is a year behind him still in terms of what that looks like.
Yes.
So it's not like he would never get his shot in the future or whatever either.
Correct.
Okay.
So now I'm looking at the skills. Okay. What can each guy do? And they are very different, it seems like. Like they're not carbon copies of each other. They all do different things well.
Right.
So
it would be easier to judge if they were carbon copies.
Yeah, exactly. So I look at Chris Brown and I'm like, okay, he has probably the strongest arm of all of them. He has a really good, strong arm, so he can get the ball there and he can make all the throws and all that kind of thing.
He's a little bit lankier than most quarterbacks.
He's the tallest too.
He's the tallest
of them.
And
yeah, but I think his real advantage is that he's got the strongest arm. I would say that separates him from the other guys.
And I think vertical speed wise, honestly, he's the fastest. Like point A to point B, if you're just talking about getting around a corner only, then I would say he's probably the fastest out of all of them.
Perhaps, but I don't think that he's separates
not, I
him
say,
from
right.
the other guys.
I'm just saying like breakaway, like potential for big plays. That's the guy who you're probably going to best arm, fastest guy. Just those two things. I think make him exciting for me.
Yeah,
but go ahead.
Perhaps, but in my mind, I don't think his running ability separates him from the other guys. Okay. Whereas Daniel Graves, I feel like his running ability separates him from the other guys. I feel like he's a very good runner. So like that's
as
his advantage.
And as opposed to a point A to point B runner, he's fast enough, but he's a small guy who's shifty, who can change directions really quick. And in the spring game, one thing I did see him do was find little holes, you know, and kind of duck in for that extra 2 yards before he got hit. And when he did get hit, he wasn't getting hit hard, which is important. We saw Broaddus take a lot of big hits the last year.
Yeah, if you can avoid hits, it definitely that's the goal as a quarterback. So he's got this really good running ability, but like I said, whereas Chris Brown has the strongest arm, it's also inaccurate at times. I mean, you saw him airmail a throw today. Totally. I've seen him do it before. He's got a strong arm, but the control of it isn't, terrific.
Yeah.
In the case of Dano, at least what I've seen from him so far at the collegiate level, which is different from what he's done at the high school level, in the spring game, he was kind of, his throws were kind of short. Yeah. They weren't, the strongest throws. They were kind of accurate, but they were accurate. Very accurate, but it was short enough to where the either didn't get to the receiver or the DB was able to come back and make a play on it.
And he was throwing off his back foot. I mean, but generally throwing for Dano, when you're 5'8".
Plus you're running backwards because the defensive line's coming right at you.
Right. Those are two things
that I have to go for, what he did. So in my mind, and I don't see 2% of what these guys do in practice.
And I don't want to be talking
about... The coaches know way more than I do.
And I'm not trying to talk about Dano like he's... Doug Flutie and everybody's telling he's too short to play quarterback, but he is 5'8", right? I mean, and he's got guys in front of him who are 6'4".
Yeah, it's a challenge for him, but he's been doing it all his life, so sure. To him, it's like no big deal.
Okay.
So to me, you've got like those guys. One of them has a strong arm. One of them's a really good runner. And it's kind of what I was going to say earlier at the practice, and I decided to save it, to save this little like comparison,
the big comparison,
the big reveal. No, it reminded me, for some reason it popped into my head, like I have a 2-year-old son who's going to turn 2 in September, and I read him lots of books, and one of the books he reads is Goldilocks and the Three Bears. If you've ever read that one, and when Goldilocks goes into the house and sees the porridge,
right,
and she's like, this one is too hot. This one's too cold, but this one's just right. I feel like you've got this kind of Three Bears, porridge thing going on, because
if you take Trocine out of the mix,
well, no. This is what I'm going to say. You've got Dano, who's a really good runner, but he needs to show me personally. I don't know if it means anything, but he needs to display that he can do the passing side a little bit better. But he's also a great leader. I mean, these guys, I'm just boiling it down to the basics here. He's got, to prove to me that he can make the throws. Then you've got Chris Brown, who can kind of make the throws. He's got a strong arm, but can he be accurate enough? I don't know. So he's too hot, Dano, maybe he's too cold. Tanner Trocine, I feel like, is just right in a lot of ways because he's got good athleticism. Maybe he's not the same kind of runner that Dano is, and maybe he doesn't have quite the strong, as strong an arm as Chris Brown has, but maybe he's just right. He's good enough in both that he could be the best overall.
Right.
But
does Walsh hand his keys to a freshman?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't.
With a sophomore who played ahead of Trocine in high school, they went to the same high school, right? Graves and Trocine. With a junior in Moraga who's, should be a senior, or who's not should be, who is age-wise the same age as, a fifth-year senior could be. And with a kid like Chris Brown, who's a year ahead of Trocine, eligibility-wise, with all those tools. And I don't know.
Yeah, well, so then that brings us to Moraga, who is very capable of running the triple option. He's had the most experience with it, so he can dictate where the ball's going to go. He's good in that aspect. And you know what? In the spring game, he did make some passes. He had a deep ball to Roland Jackson that was that could have been caught in the end zone that ended up being dropped. And it sounded to me after the game talking to Walsh that he more blamed the receiver on that one than he did Moraga. And then Moraga, he also had another drive that ended with a fumble. Unfortunately, but he can move the offense too. Don't count him out.
Right.
We're talking about these other guys, like they have all these tools and stuff, but I mean, he's good enough too. Maybe he's the just right one. I don't know.
Him and Trocine are the two most similar guys, I think, even though Trocine might have slightly better arm potentially, and he's a little taller. I think him and Trocine might be the two closest when you think about skill set.
Yeah, so then you
have... But one's older and one's younger.
And you have Moraga has the experience. So I feel like Moraga will be in the top two regardless. I think
Moraga's going to be the backup either way in your mind.
No, I don't think he's going to be the backup. I think he'll be in the top two. So he'll either be the number one or number two.
Okay.
I don't think he's going to fall any...
But if somebody else further wins it, then he'll be the backup in your mind.
Yes.
Okay.
So I think he'll be in the top two. And then the other guys, I mean... Any one of them could be the starter. Any one of them could be the third string.
Or the fourth. And so, like, here's my thing, too. Trocin has to be in the top three because he doesn't have another place he can go for the good of the – kind of for the good of the organization, for the good of the team, which makes me think that Brown or Graves are going to be left in fourth for whatever reason. I have that intuition because of the fact that both of those guys can contribute elsewhere and still maybe compete for quarterback later on. Shumway was in that realm of things, right? At some point, where he was maybe the third guy back in the day. Talk about the Shumway factor. I mean, and all this, because he's out there.
Yeah, he's
out
there practicing assistant with coach. Them too. He's an assistant coach.
So, gosh, what a volunteer assistant right now. What a role model for some of those guys who aren't going to make it. I mean, he's still around. He's
by all accounts, Doug Shumway was a great teammate when he played. He was very well liked, very popular, not just among the team, but among students. And, you know, anytime I saw him, he was very popular. So, if anyone knows how to, contribute to the team without being a on the field contributor, it would probably be him. One thing to note about Trocin is that his dad was a QB at Sac State.
Okay.
And if you go back to his career, it's kind of interesting note. His dad became like a star at Sac State, but it was not until he was a third stringer. I think it was his sophomore, junior year. He was third string and the two guys ahead of him got injured.
Yeah.
And that's how he got his chance to play. And then once he got a chance to play, he took them on a big run towards the end of the season, and that was the last time Sac State has been to the FCS playoffs.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. And it was Trozine's dad was the QB, and he was the third string. So if you're Tanner Trocin and you learn anything from that, it's that even if you're third string, you're not out of it. You know what I mean? Like anything can happen, and you could be the starter. A couple bad breaks, boom, you're in.
Interesting.
Which Shumway found out against Montana in 2010, 2011, when they beat Montana, was the number two team in the country.
You wrote a good story about that in Tribune, I think, last year, maybe, about like looking back or something like that on the Shumway game.
Possibly.
Going to Montana.
I write so many stories, man. I can't write. I just delete the program. I finish the stories and it's like, delete. I don't have enough room in my brain to memorize them all.
So Walsh doesn't want the injuries to be a factor, but injuries are a part of football, especially when you run the triple option. And even if you have a guy who's a first, second, third, or fourth, there's always a chance that somebody gets hurt. I mean, you look at...
who knows that better than the son of somebody who
went through
lived that role and then made something of themselves and then actually made it happen. So I think if anyone should have the patience, it would probably be Trocin.
He's a freshman still. He's got three more years of eligibility.
Yeah, he's just as good as everyone else. I think they're all very talented and on equal footing. They're all good. And Trocin is right there with everyone else. But I think he should have more perspective than the other guys just because what his dad went through.
When it comes down to it, who's going to be the quarterback first play against San Diego? And what's the plan going to be? Is it going to be a one-guy thing? Is it going to be Walsh saying, hey, you know, I'm going to play this guy, but I might play this guy too. These are our two leaders. I'm going to start, I'm going to start Graves, but I got Moraga there, and we know what he can do, so he's there ready. And if those guys can't get it done, we'll have other guys out there ready to go too. Does Walsh ever say something like that? Or what's the plan going into the first game? And I know you're going to say it now, and it's hard to say now, but it's fun. Yeah. But it's fun to say now.
Okay.
So we're going to say it.
Here's the definitive statements that I feel comfortable making. Moraga is going to be in the top two.
Okay.
I will say that.
Okay. Pick one, dude. Pick one up there with him. Pick one of the other three up there with him.
I honestly couldn't tell you, man. Like I don't have a strong feeling.
I know you got
like it. You know me too. Like when we're at the games and stuff, I very rarely make like predictions. You know what I mean? Like when we're talking before the game, people always ask me, "Well, what do you think's going to happen? Who's going to win?" I can very rarely say like this team's going to win by this score. You know, I'm not that kind of guy, but I'll give a range, you know? I'll say I wouldn't be surprised if A happened to B. Like so I wouldn't be surprised if I want to give a prediction, I'll say I wouldn't be surprised if the game was close or if Pauly won by 10.
Right.
And it'll be somewhere in that range. That'll be my range. Right. So I never really say Pauly's going to win by 10 or it's going to be close. I'll say it'll be
the one time we were wrong was the basketball point spread at UCLA.
Yes, and I was on that one, but I didn't give a specific. I just said Cal Pauly's going to be within 10 points. because
did you say
that's
that?
Their style of play.
That's right. You did.
Yeah, you said it was going to be a UCLA 20-point blowout, and I said it's going to be 10 or less.
Yeah, I said it. Yeah. Okay. We'll go off the quarterbacks for a second. Does Dominique Love earn a starting spot by the time the season starts?
I don't know enough about him. Yeah. I didn't see him enough. Yeah. But you have Bijan Samudi, who's a former starter who's coming back.
Yeah.
He didn't practice today, but I was told that he could practice as early as Friday.
Yeah.
And then you have Vante Smith Johnson,
who's going to start.
I don't see how he doesn't start. He's been their most consistent guy.
You also have Carlton Dennis.
Carlton Dennis got a lot of playing time last year.
Dennis is like a beefy cornerback.
Yeah, you don't realize how big he is until you go see him
in
person.
He's got some thickness, like some Criston Ivory kind of thickness to him that makes you think that he might be like a really good like nickelback or something like that.
Yeah, when he first came in, he reminded me of Samudi. Uh-huh. I think they went to the same high school even.
Okay, okay.
And he kind of reminded me of him, but then he kind of got bulky.
Okay.
But obviously, he's still good. He's a contributor. So you've got him. Like, who do we also? Let me see the cornerback depth chart real quick.
No, those are the ones. And then Love.
Yeah, Vante, Dominique Love. Chris Fletcher is also, somebody who's been highly regarded in the program for the last couple of years. So, he'll have a chance. You've also got Kevin Britt coming back from back injury.
And you always get guys.
He's very, athletic and whatever they say in baseball, like toolsy.
Yeah.
He's fast and he's tall. You know, he's got a good, package. For
you always get guys in at Cal Poly, at least over the last couple of years, especially in the secondary. There's always nicks and cuts and dings and bruises and games that guys have to sit out because of a pulled muscle here or a contusion there or whatever too. I mean the safeties hit hard. I mean I could see somebody like Dennis even stepping in that way for how big he is. I know they have three safeties that are pretty solid contributors too over the course of the last couple of years the last year with Douglas and of course Hubbard.
Yeah,
and,
well, they have more than three
Reza,
safeties.
And Reza, right.
They have more than three safeties because if you look at Hubbard, Jordan Williams is actually the starter at the other safety, but you got Hubbard, Jordan Williams, Reza's backing up Williams.
Right.
Dave Douglas has also played a lot. And then BJ Nard, we saw him today come up with a big interception. The guy from Bakersfield.
Yeah, and he was a freshman last year. Did he redshirt last year?
Yeah, he did. He's a redshirt freshman. So, you've got more than four guys there. I mean, in the defensive backfield, there's like 10 or more players.
Okay.
All together in a group that...
Another position now, too, that I want to talk about. Not to interrupt you. I kind of interrupted you.
It's all right.
It's all right.
Well, I'll finish my sentence. Those 10 guys all want to play, and they're all good enough to play. It's going to be hard to choose. When we're... Love, is he going to start? I don't know.
Kevin Porsche. He's going to get some carries. Kevin Porsche? Did I just say his first name wrong?
I'm pretty sure you said it.
It's Kevin.
Right?
Okay, yeah. Kevin Porsche is going to get some carries. It's a statement I'm willing to make and stick by. He's a he was a freshman last year. Did he redshirt last year too? I'm looking up for running back. Okay.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. So he's in the S back depth chart behind Cole Stanford and Kenny Mitchell, but I think he's probably going to get ahead of Kenny Mitchell by the time, that's my prediction anyway, by the time the season starts. He looked really quick today. He looked like he's a little guy who can get outside, but not that little. I mean, he's well built for a running back, and he looks like he's got some good speed for that outside guy to kind of be the next maybe Cole Stanford as time goes on, right?
Well, he's young. He's going to have to prove that he belongs on the field. At that position behind Cole Stanford, I honestly think they're looking at Willie Tucker to come in there. And
because they've recruited so many wide receivers that Tucker is okay going in there.
Yeah. Okay. I think Tucker would, they're thinking that Tucker, even though he's been on the outside his whole career, would work really well as a receiver from that position.
Uh-huh.
I don't know that he's going to get a ton of carries, but Cole Stanford didn't get a ton of carries. He just got a few, and some of them were big. The one at North Dakota was huge.
Right.
But I think that when Cole Stanford goes out, I think you're going to see Tucker rotate in there. And you're also going to see, because they have a bunch of fullbacks, you're probably going to see a guy like Akania Neumo, who has played fullback and has played slot. He'll probably rotate in there. So I think Neumo will go from fullback to slot back and forth.
And Howe's going to get some time.
And then the other fullbacks, they know Howe can do the job. And they know Matt Rulon. They're confident that he can, do the job too. And then Umo as well. So you've got three fullbacks. So I think more likely than Porsche getting, a lot of carries as a redshirt freshman, probably going to see other guys fill in that role, because that position that he's at right now is kind of a hybrid receiver running back.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you'll see Willie Tucker in there and Umo in there and Cole Stanford in there.
Yeah.
One of the other guys that that Walsh said that he liked at that position coming into the season was former Paso Robles High standout Elias Stokes, who was a former Tribune County Player of the Year when he was a junior.
Who you wrote about on Friday, I think, right? You talked about him.
I wrote the story probably on like Wednesday or Thursday,
yeah, but I read it on Friday.
It didn't run in the paper until Sunday, I think, is when. Or no, maybe
it said Friday.
It was Friday. Yeah,
it was Dateline Friday.
Yeah, so, but yeah, like coming into the season, that was a guy that they really liked at that position, backing up Cole Stanford. The problem with him is that he hurt his hip last fall and tried to rehab it by, you know, non-surgical means. And then it came to a point this offseason where it was like, well, okay, you know, this isn't working.
Right.
We got to do the surgery option. And then, so before the season, he had surgery. So he's going to be out till at least October.
Right.
With a labrum tear in his hip somewhere.
So since you won't make a prediction, I will, about the quarterback.
Okay.
And I haven't thought about this ahead of time, so I'm just going to talk through it here.
Okay.
I think Moraga is the most steady. I think you're right about that. I think, you know, most experienced, and I think he's going to get some time at quarterback during the season. I'm going to go with a multiple quarterback thing in my prediction. I think that while Walsh wants there to just be one guy, I think that he's set it up, and it's been a question mark for long enough where the team understands, the team has it ingrained that these guys are so close that it doesn't matter who's playing quarterback. And I think in 2 weeks, that's the line you're going to get from Coach Walsh. Or after like the second or third game, that's the line you'll get from him. Or guys will be hurt enough where you're going to see multiple guys playing back-to-back FBS teams. Isn't something Cal Poly's done, I don't think. Is it?
I'm trying to think.
I don't think it, not in recent memory anyway. And so playing back-to-back FBS teams is wearing on a team physically and especially on a quarterback. You know, there could be some guys who get knocked around in those first three games or the second and third game especially. And so you're either going to see because of injuries or you're going to see hopefully just because it's, you know, the right thing to do. Rather than injury, but you're going to see, I think, at least two or three guys rotate in pre-conference play those first four games. You have San Diego, you have Fresno State at Colorado State, and then home against Yale, right? Those are the four first four games. And I think by that Yale game, you're going to get a team that that can play well with two or three of those guys running the offense. And I feel like... gosh, who are those two or three guys going to be? I don't know.
Well, I thought you were going to make a prediction here, man. Now you're backpedaling. See, and you wanted to critique me. You wanted to be like, oh, right, this guy's playing the political game over
here.
Here's
my prediction. One of the four gets hurt. I don't know who. And the other three have all played by the time the fourth game happens.
Wow.
I hate to predict injury.
That's not picking that sucks. One.
Right. It's not. Because I don't think Coach Walsh is going to pick one either.
I think he'll pick one
to start,
this was the other part of my prediction. Like I was saying, it's going to be, if Moraga's going to be the top two, the other part of my prediction was it's going to be one guy. Like, it's not going to be multiple guys unless there's injury. The injury is the only thing I think that opens the door.
But even with injury, he's going to go with one guy, right? And I think if Moraga's in the top two and somebody gets injured, it's Moraga for the rest of the time. Like you were saying earlier. That maybe if he's going with one guy, that's how that's going to be. I kind of tend to think that it might get rotated. I don't know why. I know it goes against everything that Walsh might believe in. I know you know him better than I do, but I'm up for like a Spurrier, you know, Steve Spurrier's type, like, you know, throwing some different quarterbacks around. Listen, Sam Houston State did it successfully, and I don't think it's a bad idea.
Yeah, Eastern Washington had dual quarterbacks last year, and it was no rhyme or reason. I examined their game by game and looked at the stats, and I couldn't find a pattern to how they were using their QBs. And I talked to the coach, and he was just like, "Oh, you know, whatever I feel like." It was like he was on the Psychic Friend Network before the game, like deciding he was going to start. There was no discernible pattern to what they were doing, and they were successful.
And obviously. I'm not saying that Walsh will have a discernible pattern, but. There's enough guys who've gotten enough reps who will or will not be successful, especially in those middle two games of those four games to start the season. I think you're going to see guys come in and either step up to the spotlight or not. But either way, I think there's going to be guys who get opportunities at the quarterback position. I don't see I didn't see people step up at the spring game, and I didn't see that much separation today. Maybe Walsh did. I'm not him. I'm not in his meetings. I see, if you see 1 or 2%, I see about 1/3%, if that. And part of that 1/3% is from reading what you write. So, you know, it's totally uneducated as far as my prediction that way. It's fun. It's fun to make predictions. So we're going to make that prediction. And you know, I'll tell you if I was wrong later on.
Yes. At least I know that. You will cop to it. You'll be like, yeah, I messed up.
I won't say I messed up. I'll say I was wrong.
You just told me earlier that I was good looking and that you were not. Average. Yeah. So
here's what I will say about the quarterbacks. If you do go with Chris Brown, or if you do go with Tanner Trocin, you have the opportunity, I think, to win like 10 games this year. 9 or 10 games, I think, if you go with one of those guys. You also have the opportunity to only win like 5, I think. That's the high-risk, high-reward move, would be to go with one of those guys. If you go with Moraga, or if you go with Graves, I think you get around like the 8-win mark. You're more in like the 7 to 8, maybe 9 kind of win mark as a team. And so it's all about, you know, do you want to like go for, you know, maybe a really high upside and like a high risk, high reward, or do you want to kind of get into the playoffs as like an 8 or 9 win team, kind of have to play the first week maybe, but just get there again and take your chances once you get there.
That's fair to say, I think, you know, that those are the types of choices that you can make when you go with a younger guy versus one of the older guys. I'll disagree with the point that there's going to be a multi-pronged attack, because I just think it's going to be one guy. I think it's going to be one guy. This guy's the starter, and the only way he's unseated is through injury. I don't think poor play is going to...
unseat a guy quickly.
No, I don't think it's going to lead to a change, because I think the defense is very good. And
really good. Sullivan Gross is amazing. We've talked for almost an hour and we haven't mentioned Sullivan or Johnny Millard or any of those guys.
With so many returners going back, and then with so much change going on the offensive side, they're going to need they fully expect the defense to be the strength of the team early on. So with that said, the defense should be strong enough to keep them in games. You know, Fresno State has a terrific quarterback, so I mean they're going to probably put up a lot of points. Colorado State, I don't know. I don't expect them to.
They haven't been great the last couple of years. Yeah, I think Wyoming beat them last year.
Yeah, I don't expect them to be an offensive powerhouse. San Diego, I don't expect them to be offensive powerhouse. Yale, I don't expect them to be an offensive powerhouse. So if you get blown out by Fresno, but you're competitive in the other three games, there's not going to be a change at QB. Even if the offense doesn't go anywhere,
right,
if they're competitive games, what's the argument? You know, we're in the games.
Right.
We're there. We're winning. We're almost winning.
Isn't that kind of the beauty of the triple option?
Yeah. So because of their offense, it's designed to keep the game close. Because their defense is going to be the strength of the team, you're expecting to be in close games. So when you come around to week, 5 and you're
starting big sky play.
Yeah. You're coming around to week 5 and you're 2-2, or maybe you're 1-3.
Yeah.
And Owen Main goes into the news conference with Coach Walsh and says, "Coach Walsh, why don't you go to the other quarterbacks? You guys' offense is anemic. You're scoring like 15 points a game." He's going to be like, last week we only lost by 3 points. You know, like two weeks ago, we only lost by 3 points. We were in the game in the fourth quarter.
Right.
You know, so how are you going to, tell him, like, you should go with another QB?
Right.
He's going to say, "But we're in the games. We're almost winning, or we are winning."
Right. And no matter what, he'll have that, even within the Big Sky. I mean, when they get quote unquote blown out, it's like by 2 touchdowns, and they're always in games. I mean, recently, like last year, like Sac State seems like they ran all over them. You know, they couldn't stop Sac State defensively, and they still only lost that game by what, a touchdown?
Sac State was just nickel and diming on the field with like short passes
and all day, but they were doing it, and the defense couldn't stop them, but Cal Poly's offense kept them in it, and in the end made kind of a furious comeback run. I watched that game from my truck in a parking lot in Colorado.
Wow.
Actually, not a truck. It was from a rental car.
What were you watching on your phone?
My computer. I had a AV or an AC inverter for my
your power source,
for the cigarette lighter.
Uh-huh.
And I plugged my computer into that, and then there was a place that had Wi-Fi that the guy gave me the password. So but he was leaving, and it was like, the game started at like 8 p.m. Colorado time or something. The Sac State game was a night game, So I sat there in my rental car with the car on in this random parking lot by a Walmart and watched that game in my car.
So, wow.
There you go, the Sac State game.
Yeah.
That was a weird game.
It was a weird game, but I had the squeeze-in burger before the game. So that made it all worthwhile.
What's going to be the place to go when Cal Poly goes to Fresno? You're a Fresno State alum.
That's interesting. I'll have to get back to you on that.
What's the place to eat?
Well, I mean, Fresno has everything. See, that's what's interesting. You know, being someone who was born and raised in Fresno and then moving out here, Fresno has everything.
But is there a good local place that you like?
I'd have to think about it. Yeah, you know what I mean? But sure. but like Fresno has everything. Anything you could possibly want is within like a 10-minute drive. Sure. Anything. Yeah. Every store,
it's a little big city.
No, it's a big city. It's like 500,000 plus people.
But I mean, you said within 10 minutes though.
Well, yeah.
So everything you want within 10-minute drive.
Owen, and they're not like, it's not like SoCal freeways where it's like you're on the freeway and you go 2 miles in 10 minutes, you know, because it's like the 405 Carmageddon.
I'm saying if you can get anywhere in town in 10 minutes, then it's not a big city. It's a medium-sized big city. Like as far as the size of it. Now, I'm not it's not a denigration of Fresno.
It is a denigration, but it's okay.
I'm using it as a compliment. Like that's the size city that I enjoy. Like
yeah.
Like people talk about like Austin, Texas is like a really cool like medium-sized big city. Mhm. Right? You want to be like not too big for your britches.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
Yeah, I guess if that's what you want to be. Fresno is too big for its britches, though. It's like, okay. It's totally sprawled.
Okay.
Maybe 10 minutes was an exaggeration, but I mean,
okay. Like, if 10 minutes was an exaggeration and you were wrong, then that's fine.
Maybe. I guess. It depends on time of day, maybe. Okay. We'll put it that way, and how fast you speed.
Okay.
But no, but literally, this is the point about Fresno. There's everything there.
All right.
Whereas in the Central Coast, like, if you want, you know, a certain restaurant and they don't have it, you know, you have to drive to a Tascadero, you know, for
In-N-Out
or something. You know, now they have one at AG, but like that's just an example. Yeah. You know, like where's the nearest KFC?
Tascadero?
Where's the nearest Wendy's?
Wait, hold on. KFC. That's right. The one in Slo went out of business, huh?
Yeah.
Dang.
Right, where's the nearest Wendy's?
Wendy's. Is there even one in Santa Maria? Is there one in Santa Maria?
Yes. Where's the nearest Long John Silver?
Oh God! Who eats a Long John Silver?
I'm just saying.
Who eats a Long John Silver's?
I'm just saying. In Fresno, there's like a Long John Silver on every block.
Okay, we have Morro Bay, we have Pismo Beach, we have Avila Beach to eat.
Yeah.
Who in their mind? Long John Silver could try to open up here. It would be like
Santa Maria.
Me opening up.
Okay, how about this? Where's the nearest Wiener Schnitzel?
North County, there's one. Yeah.
You tell me. This is what I'm saying.
Who eats a Wiener Schnitzel when you have the places that you have around here?
Yes,
man.
But what I'm saying is in Fresno, there's everything.
Okay.
And then
if JD wants a Wiener Schnitzel some night,
yeah,
he can go get one.
But like on the Central Coast, you know, there's not everything in every town. And the towns are kind of spread out. There's like 15 minutes between each town.
Okay.
So you wanted to go somewhere, you know, sometimes, you know.
For me to get to Santa Maria, it's a half hour. You could spend a half hour driving across Fresno.
I guess you could. You could spend a half hour going from the far southwest end of Fresno.
The 41 gets trafficky. The 99.
You could spend a half hour going from the far south.
Don't even talk to me about the 41 to the 99.
To the far northeast side of Clovis.
So you're
going
to get back to me on where to eat in Fresno.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'll figure it out because we're going to do the road trip, right? Me, you, and Milne.
I think that'll be fun.
We'll do that, and I'll figure out some places to go. There's a fake Firestone. I don't know if you know about this.
It's a real Firestone, isn't it? It's owned by them, no?
Yeah, but it's not called Firestone.
Oh, it's not?
It's the same, yeah, it's the same owner.
It's like Main Street Grill.
Ownership group. Yeah, it's called Doghouse Grill.
Main Street Grill in Cambria is the same. It's got the same menu as Firestone, owned by the same people.
Yeah, we'll see. If you're from, you know, Cayugas,
North County,
you went to Coast Union, so you think of it as being equal, but everyone else is like, that's the fake Firestone.
I think Firestone's the fake The Grill. Well, yeah.
Well, there's a beef.
People who own The Grill, people who own Firestone and The Grill, they lived in Cambria for a long time.
Wow.
So,
well, I have friends.
So you know
in
which
Fresno?
One they really like.
Oh, okay. Well, I know which one you really like, being a North Coaster.
Yeah. Sea Town.
But in Fresno, I have friends that think that Doghouse Grill is better than Firestone Grill.
There you go.
Maybe we'll have to go and test it out.
All I know is that Main Street Grill is rarely as ridiculous to try to get food at as Firestone. Firestone is great food, but sometimes the line like goes around the corner, and I don't like waiting in line, JD.
Yeah, I would just go somewhere else. Now, maybe it's just because the times that I go to Firestone, but whenever I go to Firestone, it's like in and out, I get food.
Yeah.
Maybe I just go at the off-peak times.
And they're
times,
really quick and really good. And
if there was a line, I would just go somewhere
else.
Even
if I'm waiting in line, it's like 15 minutes, so it's not that bad. But there's lots of good places to eat in town. So we'll figure out where to go with you and Milne. If you've made it this far into the podcast.
How long have we been talking?
Guess.
An hour and a half.
No, hour and 4 minutes. But still, it's been a while, and
time flies.
And it's getting kind of late. If you are a radio listener, I encourage you to listen to the CJ Silas show any week on Wednesday nights. I think
totally.
It's 7.
Yeah.
But if you really want to listen to us on the CJ Silas show, and by us I mean Luke, Andy, and I, and Luke and Andy are actually in for the Fresno trip probably too. Andy for sure is.
Cool.
Luke may or may not be. So. You know, we both have kids, and I've kind of already mostly committed myself to at least one road trip with Cal Poly this year. I did one last year to Wyoming. That was fun. So we'll hit that up. Luke and Andy and I are going to be hosting CJ's show, guest hosting, next week. So check that out, ESPN Radio 1280 at 7 o'clock. Wednesday nights are pretty cool on ESPN now. I got to say, Wednesday evenings, you get the Sports Bite. You have Living the Run, which is, you know, a good local show. You have CJ's show right after that. So you get kind of three back to back to back. And then the Late Show guys are on late. And I always listen to their podcast if I listen to it because I'm an early bedtime guy. Yeah.
But I catch them live a lot of times because
you're coming
they're
home
on
from
when I'm
doing
driving.
Layout.
Yeah, I'm driving home from work because I work late nights at the Tribune's many Wednesdays. And I catch them on the way home. And it's kind of like, you know, it's refreshing.
Yeah.
They have, you know, I kind of complain like listening to ESPN Radio. Like, who wants to listen to, you know, people like at 5 o'clock or later talk about the same exact stuff that Jim Rome and Dan Patrick were talking about, you know, but they kind of do bring a little bit of a fresh, you know, kind of take. Maybe it's because they're their age group or whatever.
Yeah, they're a little younger and they like MMA and they do have kind of different stories, or it seems like they at least like try to, like you said, have a fresh take on
it. It's less structured too. It's more kind of like a podcast too when they do it.
And we've had Alex and Bobby on our podcast too before. Yeah. So,
and CJ's show is awesome too because she gets guests, you know what I mean? Like, she has access to people that not everyone has access to. So her show is awesome. I mean, it's been missing before she came back. I mean, that was what was missing from 1280. You know, like the
local shows.
Yeah, just the premier, like you know, interviews.
I do like the golf show on the weekends too.
Yeah, those guys are funny.
Yeah, I want to meet those guys.
I met them once. I came on CJ's show when it was on Saturdays, and I met them once for the first time. And it was weird because, you know, you listen to people on the radio and you hear their voice. And then you don't know what they look like, but you hear them multiple times in their voice. And then you finally meet them and you see their face.
Yeah.
And it's not that I pictured them looking any certain way, but
it's
just
shocking sometimes.
Yeah, it's just like, whoa, you guys look like that? I didn't picture them looking like anything else. And it's not like they're deformed, weird monsters. It was just like, wow. Like, put a name with the face.
And all these
years, because I lived on the Central Coast since 2006, and I didn't meet them until just last year.
Right.
And yeah, I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Mike and Billy.
I love it.
Like, I didn't know what they look like.
Maybe I can get one of them or both of them on our podcast sometime. That would be fun too.
Yeah.
Good deal. Cal Poly, they practice what time usually? And it's open to the public. I just want to be like, not to be a Cal Poly commercial, but
yeah, no,
I mean,
well,
that's what
cool
we've talked
thing.
About
that's
here.
That's one of the cool things about Cal Poly. And it's not just in football. It's in basketball. It's,
you can go watch practice
as well. Yeah, the practices are all open. So you can just like go to the gym or go to the football field and watch them practice. Let me speak from experience. Like, that's not how it is at other colleges. Like, other colleges have closed practice. You're not allowed. Media is not allowed. It's like the access is cranked down. Like, there's no... You know, you can't just go into practice and talk to whoever you want.
I saw them there today. There was a group of high school coaches from one of the local high schools.
Yeah. Can we say what high school that was?
Sure. It was from Mission, the Mission football coaches.
I didn't know
were there.
If you wanted to
I
give
don't
Mission
care.
Prep any like free publicity.
Yeah, whatever.
Or...
Yeah. I mean, their coaches were there. I met their head coach on the sidelines of the spring game, actually. Seems like a really good guy. If I was a high school coach, which I'm not anymore, but if I was, there would be like no excuse for me not to go watch. If I was a high school basketball coach, there would be no excuse for me not to go watch Joe Calera or Faith Mim not run a practice. There would be no excuse for me not to go watch how Tim Walsh operates and even bring my players. Like, that could be a practice one day for me. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I would.
The San Luis Obispo High coach basically adopted the Cal Poly's offense, you know, team's offense.
There's no reason.
For the football team. He just went to practice over and over again and just, you know, yeah, totally adopted their offense. There's literally
no excuse not to.
And they've had lots of success since they've done that.
Yeah, I'm saying these guys, you know, it's high-level stuff and high-level coaches that we have here. And being able to just go watch them, for me anyway, it's super interesting. So I'd recommend you do it.
But yeah, maybe, for the times on that, it's I think for the rest of this week, it's around 2:50 to about 5-ish. So yeah, like 3 to 5-ish.
Afternoons, yeah.
Yeah, somewhere out there. And then Friday is their first day in full pads. And then like the following week, they're going to have some 2-a-days. So there's going to be a morning practice. I'm not sure exactly the times, but that one's going to be on the turf field.
Right.
And then if they do have a 2-a-day like afternoon practices, I think that one's going to be on the I-field, on the grass field on Grand.
And if you really want to know, and you think you want to come to practice or something, I'm sure JD, if you emailed him, would kind of, you know, help you out.
Oh, yeah. Blow up my inbox.
Blow up JD's. Like, dude, if your inbox gets blown up because of my podcast.
Blow up my inbox. I know. I'm serious. But I'm honest, though.
Yeah.
Send me all the emails. Send me all the emails saying, how do I get to Cal Poly football practice? Yeah. And I will tell you.
Absolutely.
I'm making that commitment promise right now. All you have to do is show me your receipt that you are a subscriber to the Tribune, and I will do exactly that for you.
Awesome. And if you email owen@fansmanship.com, you may or may not get a response. I have a baby due any day here, so pretty soon that's what I'll be doing for a little while. But maybe by the time the baby comes, or shortly thereafter, there'll be a quarterback named.
Could happen.
We can only
there hope. Will probably be a baby named before a quarterback. Will be a main baby before there will be a quarterback.
Josephine will be here before anybody knows.
There will be main baby before there is a QB named.
Okay.
I'll predict
that. That's a prediction.
Yeah.
That's the bold prediction we'll stand on. We'll put it on the board for JD Scroggin. I'm Owen Main. Thanks for listening to the Fansmanship Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Fansmanship Podcast. For more podcasts and more in-depth sports discussion, go to fansmanship.com.
Well, I've been stuck on down in Trouble Town. It's a lonely place, it's true. Street lights so bright, they blind my vision. And the people on the streets, they beat me up till I'm black and blue.